How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, joined as we are every week. Actually, I can no longer say that. Joined as we are this week, but not last week, by Mike Sempervivi of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare. Mike was stuck in the hurricane zone, everyone. Want to apologize for no show last week. We'll certainly catch up with all the news on this week's show. And we're going to talk to Mike about living in a hurricane zone and what went down last week. Should be a fun time. But pro wrestling and mixed martial arts is the main gist of this show. We've got 2 hours here to talk about it, and we have tons of stuff to discuss, including the Raw and Super SmackDown back-to-back showing this past Monday and Tuesday night. We'll talk about all of the big booking changes on the show. We'll talk about Super SmackDown, why that show took place on Tuesday, what the long-term idea is, what the rating for the show was, and whether that helped or hurt this idea, and a lot more. UFC has made a major announcement. The first ever UFC on Fox show is going to include a heavyweight championship match. And over the last couple of days at WrestlingObserver.com, there has been a ridiculous amount of debate over whether the term heavyweight championship match means anything in 2011. So Mike, our resident boxing expert, is going to talk to us about that. We'll tell you what the fight is, why it's taking place, what the ideas are for UFC on Fox, and a lot more. We also haven't talked about all of the news from last week. We got stuff to talk about from the last 14 days, including the article on Ric Flair detailing all of his financial problems, of which, as many of you are aware, there is an abundance of those problems. Also, we'll talk about the UFC 134 in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, the hottest crowd in the history of UFC. Plus, what UFC's plans are to return to the country, what they're thinking about doing. Did they drop the ball? Is it going to be as big the next time around? We're going to discuss all of these things. On Impact, the Bound for Glory tournament, we'll talk a little bit about that. The tournament wraps up at the next pay-per-view. Also talk about the Hardy Boys, mostly one of them, Jeff Hardy, since he's returning on Thursday. And Matt claims he's cleaned up his life, but that's nothing new. So all that stuff and more coming up on the program today. Don't forget, we're here every Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. And Mike, as noted, you were in the hurricane zone last week, and how did everything go?
It went somehow, some way, incredibly fine for where I was at. And you know, I made sure to pack up all the essentials I needed, you know, all the important documents, very important things like my copy of Gotch, World's Champion Wrestler, his life mat battles and instructions on how to wrestle. Yes, I did actually bring that because if there was going to be massive flooding, I wanted to have what was most important to me. And, of course, Frank Gotch's book is very important to me. But we got actually very lucky where I am. I am on the Delmarva Peninsula on the Delaware side of it, right on the Maryland-Delaware line. And it was kind of terrifying watching. I went over to my parents' house, which is inland a little bit. Mine is basically 3 miles off the beach, which means, yeah, I was going to get wiped out if something would have happened. So I went inland a little bit. And watching the Virginia Beach News for basically 6 hours as that thing sat over them after it passed over the Carolinas and sat over them, it was just, you know, you were waiting for the worst to happen and just impending doom. And I was already upset enough that I couldn't order the UFC show from Brazil. And I'm thinking, what a nightmare this is going to be. The satellite's going to go out. The power's going to go out. Wind damage, flooding. What's my house going to look like? And we got nothing. For all intents and purposes, we got nothing. There was a small tornado near us, but there was only a little bit of flooding where I was, and nowhere near as bad as what they had expected to happen. So I basically dodged a bullet there. Now, unfortunately, any listeners in New Jersey and in New York and in Vermont right now obviously felt the effects of it far, far worse. But, yeah, we got very lucky to dodge that bullet.
You almost sound disappointed that you dodged that bullet.
Oh, no. It was a nice sign of relief. And, you know, I've only been down in this area now for a little over a decade. So, people, you ask the locals every time there's a hurricane warning because this is hurricane season, and you ask them, you know, how's it going to go? And they always blow it off like it's no big deal. I lived through Hurricane Gloria and these hurricanes from way back in the day, and they survived it, and, you know, they're not going to leave their homes. When they started to get nervous towards the end of that week, that's when I really started to get nervous. So, no, this is all a big breath of relief for me, and apparently, possibly, maybe, there's going to be another one coming next week. So I'm not feeling too good about that. And then the week after that, I'll be going down to New Orleans for the UFC show there. So I guess I feel like Jim Cantore, that I'm going to have to just go and dodge hurricanes no matter where I'm at.
So you didn't get a chance to see UFC in Rio?
I did not, although luckily the power didn't go out, so I was able to keep up with it through the play-by-play on the main page, and I was actually very happy as my picks ended up being about 4-2 on the night, so I was happy about that. But I guess really no shocking surprise with Anderson Silva is it ended up being a really big show.
Anderson Silva made a mockery of Yushin Okami. That's what happened during that show. He made a mockery of him.
Well, I don't think that was truly unexpected, although obviously Okami, you know, getting trapped in the first fight and everything, but, you know, realistically, and no offense to Yushin Okami or anything, but that was the best thing that could happen for that night. Obviously, being in Brazil, the Brazilians were riding high that night going into the main event, and Anderson Silva is just, he may not be the best drawing guy that they have, but he is just so incredible going into this deal with Fox and going into another boost in the growth of the sport, that you have somebody that is just so good and just so dynamic and sharp and nasty as Anderson Silva is. Because, again, I didn't see it, but, you know, going off of his body of work, I can't see being any different. You know, he's an absolute machine. A machine, unfortunately, that's running out of competition, but just an incredible machine to have on your mantelpiece.
A machine that works best with the right opponent. The reason I bring that up is we don't have the buy rate yet for UFC in Rio, but I thought the show was going to do pretty good. You know, it had a lot of names on the show. You know, obviously Silva was facing Okami, but still, it's an Anderson Silva fight. And you had Nogueira on the show and Forrest Griffin and Shogun. I thought, yeah, this is going to be not going to do a million buys or 800,000 buys or anything like that, but it might hit 550, that sort of thing. Now it's looking like it may not even hit 3. And I don't know what to say about that. That's, you know, one show, we look for a trend. And we don't have a trend yet, but we need to keep an eye on it, because it's kind of it's a very disappointing number. A very disappointing number. But, you know, Anderson Silva and Chael Sonnen, you know, that fight was a big fight. And there were people that said, oh, Anderson Silva is a draw now. Anderson Silva is a draw after all those years of, you know, putting on fights and some fights which were all-time boring fights and legendarily bad fights. Now he's a draw. Turns out it may not have been Anderson Silva's draw. May have been the fact that Anderson Silva was facing Chael Sonnen, who did a great job of talking people into buying that fight. Which, quite frankly, a lot of us pretty much figured anyway. A lot of this has to do with Chael talking his way into, at one point we thought might be a million buy show, but ended up not even being close to that. But still, did much, much better than this show here. And that leads us to a discussion here of UFC on Fox, where Dana White this week announced that the main event of the show is a World Heavyweight Championship fight. It is going to be the Cain Velasquez Jr. Dos Santos fight, being moved from pay-per-view a week early to this Fox show. And it's going to be the only fight that airs on the program, since it's a 5-rounder and they only have 1 hour. And Dana White pretty much stated that he believes that a World Heavyweight Championship fight for free on Fox TV is a big deal. Other people say it's the fighters, it's a big deal. The title doesn't mean a thing. Some say it's a combination of both. Where do you fall along this fence in 2011, Mike?
I started as being a boxing guy. I think it's the symbolism of the first thing being, and obviously there's reasons that it happens to be this fight, but, you know, for all the pros and cons, I mean, if nothing else, you do have a heavyweight title fight, which does, you know, hold some cachet still. You know, if the average person on the street that may tune into this is not going to know, you know, Anderson Silva or George St. Pierre or anybody else for that matter, But heavyweight title fight, if they hear that, will actually ring. Now, whether they watch it or not is a completely different story, but at least there's, you know, there's something about, you know, it's in the lexicon, heavyweight championship fight. I mean, in wrestling and boxing and everything, you know, it does mean something. And obviously, for your average sports fan, some of them are going to know George St. Pierre and know he's a, you know, an exciting guy and a truly talented mixed martial artist and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, even the average sports fan, I mean, obviously, I think I would rather have George St. Pierre and Nick Diaz on that show. Just didn't happen to be that way with the way things fell and the way this deal worked out and everything. But this is, in a lot of ways, the next best thing. Two big guys who can bang it out, and they're heavyweights. And again, that it's the symbolism of it. Now, again, it doesn't. You could put another fight up there, and it would be sell just as well. I think if you did St. Pierre and Diaz, or if you were able to do another fight, yeah, you wouldn't have to have the heavyweight title fight. But under the circumstances and the situation, I don't think we have to overanalyze it too much. It is a big deal, and there's lots of people that may watch who are 45 and older who really. Again, you know, there's that divide of age when it comes to boxing and mixed martial arts. Some of them tuning in, at least they're seeing exciting heavyweights, which they haven't seen out of boxing in a long, long time.
Do you think that this is going to be the most viewed fight in the history of MMA?
Yeah, I think it will. I think because of all the hype and everything that's going to go around it and what Fox will do for it will be far more than what CBS did for Kimbo Slice or Elite XC, and even though it was a new thing and people checking out for the first time and Gina Carano and all that other stuff that was a part of it, I still think that this is going to be bigger just because of the hype that's going into it, capitalizing on the NFL season where jacked up dudes are. I think it's, you know, right place, right time for the thing to break the record.
I'm trying to remember what the record was. I believe it was like 5.5 million, somewhere around
there. Yeah, I think it spiked to over 6 at one point and then maintained throughout. So, yeah, I mean, I'll pull it up during the break. But, yeah, I mean, I think it easily should be able to surpass it just because of the hype that Fox is going to put in. What they put into it already. Gus Johnson last night during the Oklahoma game on FX hyping up the show. I mean, they're going to go all out for this because it's a big deal. It's what Fox does for all their sports when they get it for any pro or con with production. And the way a sport is presented, they do a great job in hyping it.
We're going to talk about this more after the break. Maybe we'll get a prediction for how many viewers for Mike here after he looks up the numbers. It's coming up here in just a moment. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts for the next hour and a half. Talking before the break about the most watched MMA fights in the history of, I was going to say the world, but actually that would be foolish if we started looking at some of the tens of millions of people, 54 million people, for example, who saw the Bob Sapp Akebono match. But in the U.S., 7.28 million viewers for Kimbo Slice versus James Thompson. That is the record. And Mike, if you had to make a prediction for UFC on Fox, the peak of that show, when these guys are heading down to the ring or the final moments of the match, do you predict hitting 8 million, 9 million, perhaps 10 million? What is your prediction?
It's tough, you know, because I'd say it's probably, I mean, if the record, again, if it peaked out at 7, yeah, I mean, I would say at 8 million. I really think that they're going to go all out. They're going to have a lot of crossover, and you know how many football players and how many of them do, you know, mixed martial arts training and boxing training and things like that, you know, as far as off season to stay in shape. And I just, again, with the hype they're going to have after, you know, the 1 hour special after the NFL and throughout everything, yeah, I mean, I'm scared to give a number right now without trying to look at some trends and things like that and seeing what football gets. I mean, you know, the 4 o'clock game can be anywhere from, you know, 15 to 20 million people, I would assume. So, again, if you get half of that, that's 7.5 million people right there. And, again, that's the people that they're going to be drilling hard and going after, and that's where your crossover fans are going to come from. You know, I don't know. There's going to be, again, the average person's going to tune in. There's going to be, you know, the non-sports fan, the non-athlete fan that's going to end up, you know, winding up on it at some point. But realistically, it's going to be going after the sports fans. And again, if you take half of that right there, there's 7.5 million. So whatever it's going to be, and again, I'm scared to give a number, but whatever it's going to be, I think it will break the record, you know, that CBS had on that Saturday night.
How important is this first show, in your opinion? I mean, is this like, is this a make or break deal, or obviously they've already got the, you know, the 7-year deal. So if it does poorly, they could always say, well, you know, it's our first one. We'll do better next time. I mean, what do you think the, what is your thought on how important this show is?
It's hugely important. Now, obviously, you can have some bumps and clicks. You have the security of that 7-year deal. You have, you know, you're going to have a lot of trial and error going on from, I mean, just the fact that they're redoing the opening. I mean, you know, imagine the rebellion that'll come from that in a lot of quarters if it ends up being, you know, something that people don't like. So there's going to be trial and error going throughout this whole thing. And Fox is in it for the long haul. And obviously UFC is happy with where they're at right now and being able to control their production or at least, you know, parts of it and things like that. But it's still incredibly important, and it's why I was trying to figure out any possible way you could get Clay Guida on the thing. I mean, you're taking a chance with having a 5-round fight that it could be boring, although with Dos Santos and Velasquez, it's hard to fathom that it's not going to be the big knockout that you really want. It's a huge show. I mean, it's your first thing. You don't get a second chance to make a first impression. This is a great case of that. You're going to have a lot of eyeballs on you. There's going to be, like I said, all of that hype that's going into it. It's a big deal, and they have to come out smelling like a rose in this. You can have little bumps and clicks and errors here and there and little production things and things like that. You can always clean those up for the next time, but if it sucks, then, you know, obviously the average person that tuned in won't go back to it, and the average sports fan will have to be cajoled probably into going back to it.
I think it's almost a perfect main event. I won't say it's perfect. Maybe it
is.
It's
damn close.
But it's damn close. You've got here's why I don't think it's perfect. I don't think it's perfect because, I mean, there's a chance. It's unlikely. But there's a chance that this fight is going to go 5 rounds. And if it goes 5 rounds and they don't have time to show any prelims or anything like that, then at most you've exposed 2 guys to this brand new audience. You know, to me, I would prefer, let's get a fight that at most is going to go 3 rounds, and let's pack the undercard with former WEC guys that you know are going to have great fights. Try and get a Ben Henderson on the undercard, you know, guys like that. You know, these guys are all... there are guys available that can have exciting fights. You know,
Clay Guida, the ultimate male.
Yeah, Clay Guida's good. But, I mean, you want and I don't even know about Clay Guida because, I mean, sometimes his fights are just, he rapidly takes men down over and over again. And people love it. But when I'm putting together a show, I want a dynamic main event. I want an undercard fight where you've got a young up-and-comer against Tito Ortiz who can knock him into next week and you make a brand new star right there. And then I want your WEC fight where it's just, you know, 2 guys just going nuts. You know, that's my idea of how this show goes. Now, granted, you know, they're only getting an hour, and future shows are going to be longer, so future shows they'll get to do more of a mix and match. But for this show here, only having an hour, this is probably about as good as you're going to get. You've got a championship on the line. You've got 2 guys who are big, fast guys. You know, you can easily on these commercials leading up to the event and on the countdown special. I mean, just show the entire Brock Lesnar Cain Velasquez fight, for God's sake. You know, and tell people, you know, this is a Cain Velasquez fight. This is what you're going to get. He killed this monster here in a fast, exciting battle. And you show some Junior Dos Santos clips, and you build these 2 guys up as big, fast, dangerous, young heavyweight fighters going for a championship. And, you know, it's probably not going to go 5 rounds, but it's probably going to be very exciting. You're probably going to have a decisive finish. You know, and then you've got an undercard where you can throw something on there in the final few minutes before your hour is up, and it's a home run. So I think the show is going to do well. I think this is a great choice for a main event. You know, the whole thing, it is very important to think that this whole thing was sprung on them. You know, they did not go, okay, well, you know, let's do a show the week before our pay-per-view. No, this was sprung on them by Fox, and they jumped on it. And as a result of making this match, you know, they've lost a main event for their pay-per-view. You know, what is that main event going to be? I don't know. There are a lot of different options, but I guess we'll find out. But that is kind of an important fact as well, that in order to do this fight, they're losing out on whatever their main event is now going to be for the show that these two guys were supposed to headline.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. You got to replace it with another heavyweight fight, or you got to replace it with another chance at fireworks, because the November 19th fight in San Jose for UFC 139, you know, you're left with Bowles and Faber, and obviously for hardcore fans and for fans like you and me who follow it and cover it and watch WEC and know how exciting it can be. I mean, it's still Brian Bowles and Uriah Faber that you're expecting people to pay for, and Phil Davis and Matsushenko on the undercard. And there's good fights on here. Bader Brills, you can get a story out of. Dos Anjos is there. But it's not a card that you're going to say, it's not an automatic $50 that you know is going to come out of your pocket. You got to think about this.
If they don't come up with a new main event for that show, Mike, that will set the standard. Then we'll find out what the base is for a UFC pay-per-view.
I don't know. What's on the undercard of Edgar and Maynard 3? Because you already have that one coming from Houston. Remember, that was the show. We were talking about running Dos Santos and Velasquez, the possibilities of running that at Houston's Reliant Stadium at one point. I mean, remember talking about the possibilities of doing something like that, and now you're down to that one. I mean, yeah, these two pay-per-views may test the new baseline for what it's going to be, and it would be a good time for WWE to actually try to get some of those scraps for people who thought about saving their money that month and maybe having it go towards them. But, you know, you're stuck, and you do need, not only do you need a new main event on there, you need something exciting where dudes are going to be throwing hands and you're going to have some reason to draw people in other than it just being a good hardcores, you know, type of show.
Let's start talking a little bit about WWE picking up scraps. They had a interesting last couple of weeks. On Monday, there was a Raw show where it was announced that, at least on the Raw side, the brand extension is no more. Their idea is that nobody is going to SmackDown house show events, so their plan is, instead of putting Raw guys on the SmackDown show, they are going to put SmackDown guys on the Raw show, thinking that this will introduce the Raw audience to these guys, so that when SmackDown comes to your town, you're going to want to buy a ticket to SmackDown. This sounds like completely backwards logic to me, but this is what they're doing. And SmackDown, which is not doing great in the ratings and is not doing great at the house shows, it's still just SmackDown. There will not be Raw guys on that show, which, again, this sounds like backwards logic to me. But that was one of the big announcements made Monday, at which point they just completely moved on and blew it off, very much like an Impact show. And what are your thoughts on the SmackDown guys coming to Raw and not vice versa?
I don't get it. I just, you know, I really don't. I mean, you have all those guys on Raw as it is. I mean, move Miz and Killings act over to SmackDown, where it maybe can shine a little bit more, or I don't know. I just, again, I don't see how you go, okay, we're showcasing a SmackDown guy on Raw. It's not going to make anybody watch SmackDown anymore. They're just going to watch Raw because it's like, well, good, now I get to see Randy Orton and Christian and the, you know, two, maybe four guys that they would want to see can pop up on Raw now, and then they're still not going to watch SmackDown if they're not watching it already. I just think it's kind of foolish, and I just think it's kind of self-defeating. If this whole thing's about the poor attendance at house shows, then go add more power to the attendance on house shows. Rotate a person a week where for whatever reason, they're not going to be on your house show. But, you know, it doesn't have to be Punk. It doesn't have to be Cena. But, I mean, just, again, somebody else or I don't know, mix it up a little bit. I just, again, without doing that, I don't see how it's going to help house shows. It's just going to make people go, oh, good, everybody I want to see is on Raw, and that's it.
Key to all of this is that they moved all these guys to Raw on Monday night, and it made no difference in the ratings. And that is very telling right there.
The hype is going to be sci-fi.
Well, we'll talk about sci-fi here in just a moment. But the point is, you moved all these guys to Raw, it made no difference. What does that mean? We're going to talk about what that means when we come back from the break, plus a lot more. 2 hours of Wrestling Observer Live today on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. For the latest news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, you can always head to WrestlingObserver.com. We have daily news updates. We've got newsletters, Wrestling Observer Newsletter, Figure Four Weekly. The Observer's been published since 1983 in its current form. And Dave was actually writing wrestling newsletters in the 70s, the early 70s, when he was 13 years old. I've been publishing mine since 1995. About a year after I got out of high school, a long, long time I've been writing this newsletter. And if that's not enough, head up to WrestlingObserver.com, and we have radio shows. We have a ton of radio shows. We have 15 to 20 new radio shows every single week. If you love this program, and you only get a chance to hear it one time per week, you, my friend, are missing out. We do shows covering every conceivable topic, literally, I believe, with the exception of politics, in the world. Although we do cover wrestling politics. We have shows on pro wrestling. We have shows on mixed martial arts. We have shows on wrestling and mixed martial arts. We have shows on the history of wrestling, the history of mixed martial arts. And on Fridays, we have After Dark Radio, which, think back to the old days of Art Bell. We talk about Bigfoot. Bigfoot! UFOs, Area 51, the whole nine yards. There's nothing that we don't cover here on this website. So check it out at WrestlingObserver.com. If you head up to the website and you scroll down the right-hand side of the page, there is a listing of our latest three free radio shows. Head up there, listen to them. If you like what you hear, consider signing up. It is only $10.99 a month. It is not $29.95. It is not, $54.95 like you pay for a WWE pay-per-view that you promptly delete from your DVR. It's $10.99 per month. That is it. For $10.99, you get all of the new shows, and you get our entire archive dating back to 2005. We have interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of wrestling. There's over 3,000 radio shows in the archives. You get access to all of that for your $10.99. There are no extra fees, nothing else to pay. So head up there and check it out. I've said it a million times. If you love Wrestling Observer Live, if you listen to this show every single week without fail, and you were sad last week when you didn't do a show because Mike was in a hurricane zone, if you love this program, I guarantee that you will love a subscription to the website. You will not be unhappy. And if you aren't happy, email me and we'll make it right. But pretty much guarantee you will love it. So check it out, WrestlingObserver.com. Mike, we were talking about the Raw and SmackDown tapings, the fact that all of the SmackDown guys are now ending up on Raw, and the fact that it didn't make a bit of difference in the ratings. And what does that tell you about this idea?
First, the sci-fi press release that came out the day after SmackDown, this is how they're going to spin it, is, you know, it was such a success because SmackDown, the live SmackDown, propelled them into first place that night and got, like, you know, 3.3 million viewers or something like that, and was the number three cable telecast in adults 25 to 54 and all of the demos that were up and whatnot. So I guess they can go ahead and spin it that way, but I think realistically, you know, what it means is SmackDown doesn't mean anything. And again, people that are going to watch Raw are going to watch Raw anyway, so it didn't really matter whatsoever. And I think, again, you know, kept saying that with Cena last year, remember I was talking about PG doesn't have to be boring. And it doesn't have to be boring. And they had a little bit of an edge with the Punk angle and everything that went with that, and now they have, no matter what you want to say, they're in the sports entertainment soap opera style of angle right now that they have going on. And I think if they had been a little more dynamic in it, there would be a little more edge and more buzz with it and everything. But they seem to content to, they get everybody involved in it, and now they're going with what they have as far as their story. And I just, you know, it didn't, obviously that crowd in Wichita for SmackDown during the contract signing was bad, but as you watched CM Punk during that, it was like, you know, I'm happy for the guy because he's in a far better spot than he was in before. It's going to be hard to deny him after this. I think no matter what happens, even no matter how hard they try to bury him, I still think he's in a better spot than he would have been before this. But, you know, you heard him as a WWE character. And again, I mean, I know that's what he is and everything, and that's, you know, the company he works for and all, but it's like, it lost some edge to it. No matter the bump where Triple H and Nash and then, you know, Nash putting, I don't know, it was just something very deflating about that. And the fact that there's so many logic gaps with it too, if you sit there and think about it, when you go, you know, again, you got the text message thing, you got, you know, Hunter being upset that Nash was signed behind his back by Laurinaitis, you know, and let me rewind for a second. CM Punk, if there was not going to be a match with Kevin Nash, why did Nash lay him out on Monday? Why, if Triple H was going to take the match from him, why did he not wait till, you know, the next day when Kevin Nash pushed him down, then he could have a reason to get Nash out of the match and have him into the match? So he doesn't deny the people because he's already announced a match. I mean, his character development when it comes to being the COO isn't, you know, there's a logic gap in that. I mean, it's just there's lots of gaps that, you know, obviously, I guess, you know, in theory that they're going to tie up and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, history has pretty much seen, like, the guest GM and lots of other things that were going on, that they probably won't do that. So everybody's back into a wait-and-see approach when it comes to WWE after having that initial buzz. And again, I'm not going to tell them what they should have done, but it's pretty obvious that they probably should have done something to keep something electrifying going through it, because I don't think it's working, but, you know, I guess we'll have to see.
Where to begin with all of that?
There's a ton of it.
I think that, there's a lot to talk about here. For those who didn't watch Raw on Monday or have forgotten, which is very easy, they had announced a CM Punk versus Kevin Nash match. And that match was scheduled for Night of the Champions. And they did an angle in the middle of the show where Nash came out and powerbombed CM Punk. And then, seemingly completely at random, at the end of the show, Triple H came out and said, it's going to be you and me now. That was the end of the show. And it was interesting because they did this on the big screen while music was playing in the arena. So the fans live didn't even hear this. They didn't know what was going on. But we at home did. And I've been thinking about this for a long time. And my conclusion, I could be wrong about this, is that Super SmackDown, which was airing on Tuesday night, we need to rewind a little just to explain why this was happening. UFC, when they made their big announcement about going to Fox, one of the things that they announced was that the Ultimate Fighter is moving to Fridays. And it's going to be moving to Fridays, and they haven't made an announcement as to when it's going to air yet, but there is a feeling that it could air head-to-head with SmackDown, at least 1 hour of SmackDown. There's talk that it could air 9 to 10. So, obviously, WWE does not want to go head-to-head with Ultimate Fighter on Fox, and I don't think they really want to be on Fridays anyway, because it's a terrible night of the week. Thursday was always their best night, and Thursday is a much better night for pro wrestling, but They're stuck here on Friday. So the move to Tuesday this week was kind of a test run. What would happen if we ran on Tuesdays live? What would the rating be like? And for those of you wondering, the rating was up a little bit. Not a whole lot, probably about 500,000 viewers. It was up, but it wasn't up a lot. Was it up enough for them to permanently move the show to Tuesdays? In my opinion, no. But I guess we'll find out down the road here. So, you know, they may be able to talk to Sci-Fi and go, you know, the number isn't great when you compare it to the primetime ratings on Tuesday night. Yeah, it's probably better in its time slot on Friday. But on Fridays, it's going to go head-to-head with Ultimate Fighter. Probably going to hurt the rating. There are a lot of ways they could go with this. But the point is, I don't know if it's strong enough to move permanently. But they needed this show to be big. That was their idea. We're going to put this show on Tuesday this week. We're going to get this show a big rating. That way, Sci-Fi will go, hey, let's move this show to Tuesday nights. Now, originally, there were a lot of matches planned for this show. There was an Alberto Del Rio versus Sin Cara match planned. There was a match involving CM Punk that was planned. It was against the Great Khali, but still CM Punk's wrestling. And, of course, there was the Randy Orton versus Christian Cage match that was planned. Now, Alberto Del Rio was sent to Mexico because his visa issues. He had a problem. He needed to get his visa renewed. So they sent him home. And as it turns out, it took so long to get the paperwork back that he wasn't going to be back in time for Raw or SmackDown. So what I think happened And I'm basing this on the fact that it was not a last-minute change to put Triple H in that match. They knew as of the weekend that Triple H was going to be doing Night of Champions, and Kevin Nash was probably going to be wrestling later on in the fall. So this was not a decision that was made on Raw. They knew going in. So I think that what happened was they were going to do a Monday-Tuesday storyline, and, you know, Nash was going to be announced for the match. Nash was going to do the powerbomb. And then on Tuesday, they'd shoot some sort of angle to get Triple H into the match. And what happened was, when they lost Alberto Del Rio, they had to make a decision about what to do with Super SmackDown, because now the main event was just going to be a SmackDown match. They had nothing on the Raw side for Super SmackDown. So I think at the last minute they decided, okay, let's throw out the announcement at the end of the show. We'll get people interested and wanting to tune in on Tuesday night. That's our big Raw hook. What the hell is going on with CM Punk and Triple H? And that's why everything got changed. And there was probably a full show in there that got thrown out the window, and they ended up rushing forward with the Triple H CM Punk deal to make sense of it on Tuesday night, so that you had a cliffhanger on Raw that led to Tuesday night, which they hoped was going to do a big rating, which actually did not. How is that for a convoluted, complicated explanation of my thoughts?
I mean, yeah, and that could have been what they were thinking. It's just so stupid, because all they had to do at the end of Raw Monday, if you were going to have Punk take the ride and get powerbombed, fine, but then do what they did on Tuesday, on Monday, which was have Triple H pissed off enough that Nash lied to him about wrecking, that he, you know, Nash made a dig at Stephanie on him. He shoves him down. Do that segment then, so then Triple H at the end of the show, the, you know, because you were going to have this contract signing, announce that before, announce he's going to have at the beginning of the show Nash and CM Punk contract signing on Tuesday. There's going to be fireworks, another face-to-face, final face-to-face. They're going to go at each other. And then have Triple H at the end of it get pushed down and say, you know what, I think I'm changing the announcement tomorrow night. You're going to have to tune in and see. And then he puts himself into that spot because he fires Kevin Nash, or at least suspends him or something like that, because he shoved him down. And he's already stated that he didn't want him there in the first place under a contract. And Kevin Nash already threatened him by saying, oh, I'll just go home and collect my money then. Wasn't the last COO pushed out because he lost control over his company? Triple H has already screwed up on John Cena with the title, had to make that right. He makes Mysterio defend a week after he wins, which is what Christian's bitching about on the other show, which he got into it with Christian over, the second, you know, the second broadcast that he was back on, and all of these other things together, that's all they had to do. But instead, CM Punk gets dropped on his head twice in 2 days. They make the match with Triple H as this COO who didn't want to be in anything. Now he's in the match, and I don't see how this is tying in with the text message storylines and with anything that Vince or Stephanie or Laurinaitis might have to deal with. So I don't know. They obviously have a plan for where they're going, or at least, you know, some semblance of the pieces of it. I am just I'm surprised in the way they're going about it. It is not hooking me in.
I felt very much the same way you did last week, and I'm just going to say that I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt here. And I wasn't giving them the benefit of the doubt on Monday and Tuesday. And the only reason that I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt now is because when I really think about it, and I think of things that might have come up, like Alberto Del Rio not being there, which was not their fault. You know, they didn't know how long the paperwork was going to take. This is still a storyline involving Triple H, and I just think that it's not going to get screwed up as badly as your average storyline. I could be completely wrong, but I just think that it, because it centers around him, it's going to end up all right. We're going to talk about this more after the break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Sirius Channel 94, XM Channel 208, streaming online at WrestlingObserver.com, talking about the CM Punk, Kevin Nash, Triple H storyline. God, I was so mad at the storyline last week. I was so angry about this. And now, I don't know, I just... I don't know if it's been just, you know, I didn't watch SmackDown this week because obviously I watched it on Tuesday. There was no new show on Friday. I've had, you know, 5 days to stop and relax and think about it. Maybe it's going to end up all right. Maybe they had to skip one show in order to make everything work out with this Super SmackDown. Maybe everything is going to make sense on Monday night. The reality with the Kevin Nash situation was he was going to be at Night of Champions, but a medical issue came up. And years ago, the medical issue was such that they would have said, do the match. Now they're more careful about it. Triple H is going to take the match. The Kevin Nash match is actually going to take place later. Yes, Punk and Triple H is a lead-in to Punk and Kevin Nash, which is a story unto itself. I mean, that could end up being a complete and utter disaster. I mean, a complete and utter disaster. But what the heck, that's the idea that they have right now. And, you know, they probably had to make some changes, and which obviously they did. But, again, it is Triple H here. He is the centerpiece of this storyline. We talked to Dave Bautista. He's one of the people that we've interviewed in the archives. And Dave Bautista was talking about his match with Triple H, which was a huge WrestleMania match. And he noted that WWE and Vince McMahon wanted to rush that match to pay-per-view long before WrestleMania. And the only reason that they had like a several-month build, I don't even remember how many months it was, but it was many, many months, the build towards WrestleMania, was because Hunter refused to let them put it on pay-per-view too early. He refused to let them put it on before WrestleMania. So I believe that because Hunter is involved, I just think it's probably going to end up okay. There's still going to be a lot of problems and holes in the storyline, but I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt here, which I wasn't going to do on Tuesday, and we'll see how it goes. I'm going to get Mike's thoughts on this when we come back after our hourly break. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, joined as we are every week by a fine man, Mike Sempervivi of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare, also at WrestlingObserver.com. We've been here for an hour already. We're here every Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Sports Byline USA, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming online worldwide at WrestlingObserver.com. Before the break, we were talking about Triple H and the ongoing storyline with CM Punk and Kevin Nash. I talked about how a week ago, I was really mad about this angle. In fact, if you go to the website and listen to some of the shows, in fact, I think the Tuesday show is free. Head up to WrestlingObserver.com, scroll down the right-hand side of the page, the Tuesday Brian and Vinny show, listen to that show. I was enraged by this angle. I'm a little more calm right now because I do truly feel that because Triple H is involved, I think it's going to end up all right. It's not going to end up great because they've already had a couple of detours here and there, but I think it's going to end up all right. Am I having too much faith in Triple H, Mike?
No, not really. I mean, look, when WWE is great, they're really great, and there was something in what he said during the one-on-one with Punk when he's like, you know, there's a lot of people out there that like what we do, and, you know, and There is, in a lot of ways, there's nothing wrong with this, and there's nothing shocking about this storyline. It's a WWE storyline, and I do have faith in him. I mean, some of the things that they've done, which, you know, drives me nuts that they haven't been consistent with, like, you know, calming down Cole, which they've been hot and cold about. They're back to normal with it again. And some of those things, I mean, yeah, Triple H brought Harley Race's 1978 moveset into the early 2000s. I mean, he's not a dumb guy. I mean, he knows what he's doing. And again, when WWE is great at what they do, and they did it with the Punk storyline, you know, initially right off the bat, there's nobody better than them. And if this whole thing down the line leads to going into WrestleMania where it's, you know, it's actually Vince is the one doing this and Triple H is trying to lead this new guard and having Punk and Cena and those types of guys. And
actually, hold that thought. We'll follow it up when we get back. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Mike Sempervivi, who didn't know how long that segment was, but that's all right. We're just going to pick up right where we left off. If Vince McMahon is behind all of this leading into WrestleMania,
You know, I had my brain trained on a 5-minute promo for only a 2.5-minute segment. But if it ends up being Vince McMahon is behind all of this stuff, and he had access to the company phone and somehow manipulating it somehow, or he was sending the text and it's him and Stephanie, and you know what? He's got a problem with these young guys like Punk, and Cena failed him, and that sort of stuff, where you do down the line get Punk against Austin, and you get, I don't know, The Undertaker returning for WrestleMania. I mean, if they do something like that, okay. I mean, it's probably, you know, the payoff's going to be worth it. But again, it's following it every week intently that probably leads to this a little bit, where there's fans who probably don't care and they're floating around with this fine. It's just my frustration with the amount of pay-per-views that they have, where the numbers are not great right now, and looking at New Japan and how they've rebuilt faith in their product, and looking at ROH and how it's not that hard to present simple things that you know work and explanations that make perfect sense, which gives you, you know, the ability to suspend disbelief but still have a bit of reality to it. I mean, again, they're the best at that when they do it, and it's just I don't think they've taken advantage of that fully. But again, this whole thing could end up great. I don't think it's going to end up terrible because, as you said, I mean, Triple H is no dummy. He knows what he's doing, and it's his storyline. It's the focal point of the show right now, with the subset being Randy Orton and Mark Henry and John Cena and Alberto Del Rio. This is the main focal thing, and I think it's going to be, again, it's going to be fine. It's just, for me, and I guess I'm too much of a jaded old wrestling fan, there are just parts of it where it's like, it lost a lot of its luster, and I think it did for a lot of people, which is why you see some of the drops that you do in the show. I mean, people want to see how it turns out and everything, but the way they're turning out in segments is kind of amazing, where it's like, you know, again, you know, they're just floating through the show, hitting the top stuff, and that's it.
You know, I know there are people listening right now, and I'm actually thinking this myself, going, Brian, why did you do a 180 here? Did Triple H call you and threaten you with death, that sort of thing? And
did he?
No, unfortunately. That'd be something I could tell my grandchildren about. But, no, I mean, I mentioned this before the break. When we had Batista on the show, and he was talking about that feud he had with Triple H, which was one of their best feuds of all time, you know, as far as, like, long-term build, that may have been one of their best builds since, like, WrestleMania 5 with Hogan and Savage. And when you think back to that feud, as noted, WWE wanted to rush that match to pay-per-view. And Triple H was the one that said, no, this match is going to be the WrestleMania main event. We're not doing this match before WrestleMania. We're not putting this match on at Night of Champions or whatever. We are waiting till he stood behind and made that, and he made them. You know, Vince McMahon wanted to rush that match. He made them wait. He made them wait.
Remembered the failure that was Orton when they did the thumbs down and did that too quickly.
Sure, sure. You know, so yes. You know, I like to look at history, and if I look at history, WWE has screwed up more storylines than I can count. But this is a storyline involving Triple H. This storyline is his baby. It is his return to wrestling, this storyline. And again, when I look back, there have been extenuating circumstances. You know, they were not expecting Alberto Del Rio to be stuck in Mexico. They were not expecting that Kevin Nash was going to have problems with his medicals. Although, you know, I will say this. You deserve what you get in that case. You know, when you deal with Kevin Nash, and you deal with a guy who has had health issues in the past, and a guy who has pulled out of pay-per-views, and a guy who has claimed that he needed to pull out of pay-per-views because of heart issues and this and that. I mean, when you build a storyline around Kevin Nash, and you start building the storyline before he goes in for his medicals, you deserve what you get. So I'm going to say that. But that is an extenuating circumstance. And when things come up, and you've got to go, okay, you know what? We've got to change the storyline. But the gist of the storyline is going to somehow stay the same, but we're going to make some changes. You know, I have some faith in WWE because it's built around Triple H. This is not like TNA's tournament here. They're Bound for Glory tournament, which I'll let Mike give his thoughts here, then we'll talk about the tournament. But this is not like that, where I can look at the history of tournaments booked by Vince Russo, and I can say, you know what? This one ain't going to work. And I said that before they started the tournament. I said, you know what? This one's not going to work. And granted, I didn't even think they were going to remember this through Bound for Glory. I thought they dropped this, like, you know, a month in. But no, they managed to keep it going through Bound for Glory. But it is a disaster. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But, Mike, you had something to say.
But what you're saying about Del Rio and everything, it shows a problem with, you know, on-the-fly booking to me. Because, again, then why did you need... I know you're supposedly going to get Kevin Nash and CM Punk down the line, but again, you have Kevin Nash powerbomb CM Punk now, was this two or three times, you know, in total. It's just the way they went about it with Alberto Del Rio and Sin Cara, which frankly I think is a benefit that we didn't get to see that match. But it's like, you know, I don't know. I just think of, you know, bookers from the past. I think they would have done it in a better way than they did, where it's just, again, there's lots of questions, and again, it depends on what you're looking at and all this, but when you look at the overall big picture of what they've been explaining in this whole feud and this whole story, if you keep following it, just the way they did it left more to be desired and more questions than answers in a lot of ways. I mean, really, why is Triple H in this match? Just because CM Punk pissed him off? I mean, we're a month in, and we've already got Triple H as the COO back in a match. In a lot of ways, that's a complete waste of Triple H, and I think he's wasting himself, even though, again, there's probably a lot more to this story. I mean, look at how long the buildup was to lead to him and Undertaker at WrestleMania. I just think, you know, again, somebody else could have been inserted into this role, too, to draw it out for a little bit longer, because you got Night of Champions, you got other pay-per-views leading into Survivor Series, much less after that leading into the Royal Rumble.
You're absolutely right. I mean, Triple H and Punk was supposed to take place at Survivor Series. That's three pay-per-views from now. But the Nash thing came up, and they decided to make a change, and this was the decision that they went with. But
how they went about it, it's not that even they changed it to this match, Brian. It's how they went about doing it, where it's like, again, nothing makes sense. Why didn't you just fire that dude? Then you have a reason for him to take the match, just by saying he's not going to disappoint anybody.
Well,
and it leads to questions from the average fan going, who sent the text messages? And there's all those other things that can pop up and that you can explain for the smart fan and for the average fan at home.
Well, here's what I believe is going to happen, and I could be wrong. I think that, in the end, Triple H and Kevin Nash are in cahoots. And I think that the idea here is they built up this match with Nash, and then Hunter steps in and says he's going to take the match. And it's not like Kevin Nash has disappeared. You know, he ran in during the contract signing. He's going to be here. He's going to be there. They're playing it up like he's very angry at Triple H. He's angry at both guys. And maybe the deal goes that Night of Champions CM Punk has got Triple H hoisted up on his shoulders to win. Kevin Nash runs in. You build this up a little bit more. Maybe you do one more match with Hunter and Punk, and Nash runs in again. You finally find out the two guys are in cahoots. And instead of having to do a Nash versus Punk match, you could do the three-way. They bill it as a three-way, but it's Triple H versus Kevin Nash versus CM Punk, and they build it up so you know it's actually 2-on-1, and then in the middle of this, somehow, CM Punk gets a win over Kevin Nash.
Hey, that can work. And there's nothing, you know, realistically that's never unsalvageable. And not that this is to the point where it needs to be salvaged. I don't want to give it that impression or anything like that. But, yeah, I mean, there's always something that can work. It's just, you know, hopefully it's something that is also a spark and the igniter to keep those people watching into the show and as it continues on, so you don't have to do the mega push you're going to do anyway for WrestleMania, and you actually get some of these people that stay into it instead of constantly shutting the show off.
And realistically, to be fair, Triple H versus CM Punk is going to be a heck of a lot better than CM Punk versus Kevin Nash, which was the original match for Night of Champions.
Yeah, did you say Kevin Nash ran in?
Kevin Nash, actually, he moved. Well, he didn't run.
He ambled.
He ambled quickly. I will say that. But the guy's beat up bad. He can't do anything. I mean, to me, if I were in charge, you know, it's got to be a three-way with Kevin Nash. You can't have a singles match with Kevin Nash and CM Punk at this point. You know, not that you can't, but I mean, you know, in WWE big-time main events, you know, there is an expectation that this match can't be horrendous. And you just know that match would be horrendous. In a three-way, you can make a three-way work with those three guys. If you've got Triple H and Punk in there, you throw in Nash, it's still going to be okay, especially if you've done a couple of CM Punk versus Triple H singles first. We got to head to a break. I'll get your thoughts on this when we come back and more. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. Joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday at 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, 2 hours. Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 94, XM Satellite Radio, Channel 208, Sports Byline USA Affiliates, and of course, streaming online worldwide at WrestlingObserver.com. We are here talking about the Kevin Nash, Triple H, CM Punk storyline, which has been quite convoluted. And it is time also to talk about another convoluted storyline, which actually isn't a storyline unless you've been following all the backstage goings-on. But Sin Cara. What is going on with Sin Cara? What appears to be going on right now, based on Super SmackDown, is that the original Sin Cara, the original Mystico, is going to be coming back. And he is going to be facing the fake Sin Cara in a match. And that is, of course, based on the fact that the fake Sin Cara did sucker kick Daniel Bryan after his match last week, a very heelish thing to do. And as I noted a couple of weeks ago, my buddy Vince went to the SmackDown house show here in Tacoma, the first show with the real Sin Cara returning from his wellness policy suspension. And there were masks, Sin Cara masks, being sold for $75. This man is making a lot of money in merchandise, and it is absolutely ridiculously preposterous, the idea that they're going to turn this guy heel. So the idea that he sucker-kicked Daniel Bryan, to me, leads to the belief that the actual Sin Cara is going to return. We're going to do a Sin Cara versus Sin Cara feud. And I guess at that point, they can decide which guy is going to stay and which guy is going to go. And, Mike, any thoughts on this feud?
It is the only thing that makes sense to do. Although, I'll say this. Why? Again, Daniel Bryan holds that briefcase. He says he is going to be main eventing WrestleMania when he cashes that briefcase in. Why did Sin Cara not then get frustrated since the old Sin Cara was teaming with Daniel Bryan, or they were at least kind of aligned the last time we saw them, even though they wrestled each other? Why did Bryan not win the match and then have Sin Cara be upset and do the time-honored tradition in pro wrestling and or sports entertainment where he shows frustration, then kicks Daniel Bryan in the face?
I'll tell you why.
They hate Daniel Bryan.
Well, no. I don't think they hate Daniel Bryan because he'd have lost the briefcase a long time ago. But this actually is something that I'm going to defend WWE for, in the sense that Sin Cara is a Hispanic superstar on SmackDown. And he's selling a lot of merchandise, and the character is making a lot of money for the company. And historically, and keep in mind, they've got a tour of Mexico coming up. Historically, if you push a Hispanic superstar on top, he makes a lot of money for the company until you start to beat him. You know, Hispanic fans aren't tuning in to SmackDown or to their local, back in the day during the days of the territories when you had like the Los Angeles territory and that sort of thing. You know, Hispanic fans aren't coming just to see a Hispanic headliner. You know, they're coming to see a Hispanic headliner that beats guys. And in this situation here, I have no problem with WWE not beating Alberto Del Rio and not beating Sin Cara, especially before they take this tour to Mexico. It's a very important tour to Mexico that they're taking right here. It's going to be a big tour. It's going to be the first ever WWE tapings in Mexico. It's a big deal. And if you're going to be taking Alberto Del Rio down there to be a headliner, and you're going to be taking Sin Cara down there to be a headliner, especially with Rey Mysterio out of action, don't beat these men. That's my opinion.
Well, here's an idea then. If that was the case, why not just have you just crown new tag champions on Monday? And it would make the what happens at the end of the match stand out extra even more, because you have four guys in there, which one means Hunico couldn't, you know, mess up a couple moves, which, again, no offense to him, but, you know, obviously this has been an issue, and the fact that this is pretty much guaranteed Mystico is going to stay because Hunico has had problems. Put him in a tag match with those two who are already aligned against Cody, or not Cody, but who have the tag titles, Evan Bourne and Kofi Kingston. You know, it's mostly a scientific match, or at least a clean match, which would make it stand out even more after maybe Daniel Bryan gets pinned by, I don't know, Kofi. At least he was an Intercontinental Champion, where something like that happens, or there's some sort of mix-up where it makes sense Daniel Bryan gets pinned because Hunico hit him or there was a screw-up or something like that, and then he kicks him in the face. That would make more sense, at least defend Daniel Bryan, and then you'd have an excuse for the people in Mexico of why, you know, Sin Cara didn't lose and why he kicked him in the face.
Well, I mean, Kofi is a former Intercontinental Champion, but I believe, and I could be wrong, but I believe that Sin Cara has only lost a single time on television, and it was to Christian when he was the World Heavyweight Champion.
I think that's actually true because he's beaten Sheamus and Swagger and everybody else. And, you know, the only thing, I guess he went through the table from Sheamus was the only time he had trouble on pay-per-view, right?
Yeah, I mean, here's my problem that I had with that match. It's no disgrace to lose to Sin Cara based on the booking. The problem is, when Sin Cara was beating a lot of these guys, I mean, these were good, fun, dynamic matches with cool finishes. You know, this one with Daniel Bryan, I mean, to me, I just watched it and it was like, you know, I've seen Daniel Bryan have way better matches with the Real Mystico, number one. And number two, this finish just kind of came out of nowhere. And to me, when you have a finish that just kind of comes out of nowhere, that hurts Daniel Bryan more than just losing to Sin Cara. That to me is a bigger issue. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but on our website, on our board, on our message board, somebody has put up a video of the real Sin Cara versus the fake Sin Cara, their entrances. And it shows, the real Sin Cara coming out. Then it shows the fake Sin Cara coming out. Then it shows the real Sin Cara running down and hitting the mini tramp. Then it shows the fake Sin Cara. Then the real Sin Cara getting up on the ropes and the fake Sin Cara. And, you know, when they first put the new guy under the mask, when the real deal got suspended and they wanted to bring him back and they brought him back at the 3-week mark and it was a different guy. You know, when I first watched that, it was like, fans don't notice, obviously. You know, the people in the building don't notice. I mean, he's an athletic guy. He's got a good swan dive, a good dive roll there on the mini tramp. He's got some high flying. You know, he's a little fatter. He's a little taller. But it's not like, you know, to me, it wasn't like a huge deal. You know, I would have preferred the original, but it wasn't like a huge deal. But then, like, as the weeks go on and you see more and more of Unico, and nothing against the guy, you know, he's fine. But, you know, it really, when you watch that video and when you watch him week after week, I mean, it's very obvious that mask or no mask, Mystico just exudes that superstar aura. And Unico comes off as like a good independent worker with a mask on. And they're two entirely different things. And to me, you've got to bring back the real deal. I mean, you just have to. I mean, you know, some people are going to say, you know, you get the character over and then anybody can play the character. I do not believe that. Wrong. I believe that in 6 months, if Unico is still Sin Cara, he's not going to be nearly as over as he is today. And if you bring the other guy back, he's still going to be a superstar character.
Yeah, I mean, I know there's always that thing. And again, for week one, you got lulled in the impression that, you know, I think Bruce Mitchell said this about Jushin Liger. Fans aren't cheering for the guy. They're cheering for a suit. And it's like, you know what? That's the case for a lot of guys when they begin in mass characters and things like that. That's true. But then, you know, you have to do something with it. Jody Hamilton is the assassin. Jushin Liger as Jushin Liger. I forget his real name. But, you know, Mystico comes out and you get that feel and that aura of him being a star because he was a star. He was a huge star. That's the whole reason he's there. He was that big in Mexico, a box office draw to epic proportions. That's why. And it's him. He's Mystico. Mystico Sin Cara, remember from the original press conference. As far as Mexico goes, it's the same thing. So that's his character. So of course he's better at it in all aspects of everything. Maybe not the mini tramp. I've actually been pretty impressed with Hunico there, but you know, that's why. And again, Hunico can't pull it off because he's not Sin Cara. And sooner or later, it's going to stop. You know, the merchandise will stop selling after a while because if people don't really feel it or believe it, the same people buying the Sin Cara mask will be moving on to somebody else. I mean, everybody buying a Sin Cara mask probably has a Rey mask and a Kofi thing and a John Cena thing and something like that because that's the same base that they're going after.
Yeah, I've talked about if you're on our website, you've heard this a million times, all of the discussion we've had about walking around like a star and that sort of thing. But you know, I It's funny, Lance Storm was on our show, and I kind of defended Mystico a little bit. It's like, you know, walk around like a star if you're a star, you know? Just don't be rude to people. You know, yeah. you walk around like you're a star, great. You know, method acting. You know, if you walk around like you're a star backstage and you can bring that out in front of the people, more power to you. Then, of course, Lance comes on the show and he was backstage at SmackDown about a week ago. And he was like, I think I saw Mystico, small Hispanic looking guy, walked right by me, nose in the air, didn't even say hi. And I was like,
And you know what? That's a different issue, and that's a legitimate issue on another side. But as far as him, you know, portraying the character out to the public and to the WWE universe, you know, that doesn't matter. It's how he presents himself and carries himself when he does come to the ring, and how he works inside of it. That's, you know, that's the actual issue. Although he should have gave Lance a high five.
I think you should have given Lance a spinning head scissors, but that's me.
Well, you know, you don't want to do that with Lance's neck. I mean, he doesn't really need to do all that right now, does he?
Actually, his neck's feeling a lot better. In fact, Lance had an impromptu match. These are the kind of things you miss if you're not subscribing, everybody, because he talked about it on our show on Thursday. Lance had an impromptu match at his PWA show with Tommy Dreamer last weekend, in fact. And now he's starting to get the itching to get back into the ring again.
Well, his protege T-Bone is undefeated in WWE, you know. So
that's true.
I can see why he wants to come back.
And there is a certain radio host on Sirius Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide online at WrestlingObserver.com, who does in fact hold a win over Lance Storm that Lance Storm has yet to avenge.
Ooh, and you know what? That's not me.
We'll be back in just a moment, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live. We've got another big segment here coming up, so we'll be right back. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Sirius Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming online worldwide at WrestlingObserver.com, and, of course, on all Sports Byline USA affiliates. We are here talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, and if you'd like more, WrestlingObserver.com is the place to go. Daily radio shows. If you love this show and you can't get enough, guess what? We got more coming up tonight. And you can't hear it unless you're a subscriber. Dave Meltzer and I, later on this evening, talking all of the news in pro wrestling and MMA, previewing the next week, talking about Raw, SmackDown, UFC, Mixed Martial Arts, Strikeforce, and more. It's coming up later on tonight. Back again tomorrow with more. Yes, we have shows on Labor Day. We have shows virtually every single day. Not only do we have shows virtually every single day, but if you sign up today, $10.99, you not only get all of these new shows, but you get every show that we have ever done in the history of this website, dating back to June of 2005. We have over 3,000 radio shows in our archives. Every show, hour, sometimes 2 hours long. So think about all of the... In fact, if we don't have 5,000 hours of audio in our archives, I'll be stunned. 5,000 hours of audio. You sign up today for $10.99. You can go to the archives and download every single show and try to listen to them before your month is up. You can't do it. You just can't do it. It's like the Smithsonian. And even if you do, you're going to get behind because we're still doing new shows every single day. We cover pro wrestling, mixed martial arts, the history of wrestling, the history of mixed martial arts, combo wrestling, and MMA. We even have After Dark Radio on Fridays. This past Friday was joined by Dan Farron talking the mysteries of Area 51. If you're into that sort of thing, that's available on the website as well. $10.99 a month. If you like what you hear, sign up. Because, of course, this is just a sample every Sunday, Wrestling Observer Live. You can also scroll down the right-hand side of the page at WrestlingObserver.com. We have a listing of our latest 3 free radio shows. Download them. Check them out. If you like them, that's what you do when you sign up. You just download the shows. You put them on your iPod. You listen to them on your commute. You listen to them in the gym. You listen to them when you're working at your job. Wherever you want to listen to them, that's the place to go, WrestlingObserver.com. So check it out. And, Mike, what do you think about them Hardys? How was that for a segue?
Well, before I even want to think about the Hardys, I'll say John McCarthy is going to be on soon, correct?
That's right. John McCarthy is going to be on at the end of the month talking his new book in the history of UFC. Big John McCarthy, who you hear every week on this program. He introduces the show. He's been doing it since we were on IATA back in the 90s. Big John McCarthy is going to make his big return and talk about UFC rules and a lot more. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a big show.
And the only time I can ever actually say on this show, John McCarthy opens for me.
But, that's right. Should I try and throw out the John McCarthy, let's get it on? Is that too corny?
Yeah, but it's okay. It's not any more corny or stupid or depressing or sad or pathetic than the Hardy situation, which obviously Matt Hardy, and I'm sure everyone is now aware this week, it's been taken down because it violated the YouTube terms of service. But on Tuesday night, I believe it was, he put up a post basically making it look like he was going to basically look like a suicide note. Now, for those people that have been paying attention, he had been talking online about reinventing himself or going having a new Matt Hardy, and there was going to be a rebirth. But the way he put this YouTube letter up, it obviously made it look like a suicide note, and it caused a lot of problems where he lives in North Carolina and freaked a lot of people out and had people talking, but in all the worst ways, because I can't think of anything less classless than this. I mean, I know about the, I think it was at Paraguayo in Mexico, with the possibility of the fake cancer story to get publicity earlier on this year. But I mean, this is just, you don't joke about suicide, at least as a general rule. I mean, it's just, I'm stunned. And obviously all of the problems he's had to go through recently with arrests and wrecking his house and DWIs and DUIs and the downward spiral that he looked to be on, you know, it's really a pathetic, sad state of affairs for Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy, obviously going back to TNA, which is not, you know, I don't blame Jeff Hardy for that, but I do blame TNA. And it's just, again, what exactly is in the water at that part of North Carolina, I have no idea. But those are two guys who obviously need help, and again, you know, it's amazing in Jeff Hardy's situation with everything he's facing and is still waiting on the results of, it's amazing that his situation doesn't look as bad as Matt's, at least for right now.
You know, I didn't want to talk too much about Matt Hardy. I just didn't want to give him the press just because I was so annoyed, but there was something that I really want to talk about here that really, really got me upset. He posted a new video, and he was two black eyes because he'd fallen down the stairs, and he's talking about how he's no longer a full-time professional wrestler and he needs to make some changes in his life, and he's sorry. I'm so sorry, he says. I'm so sorry for that video. I'm so sorry I did this. And then he gets to the line about how I didn't intend for people to think that was a suicide note.
Of course.
I didn't think that people were going to assume that, he said. And that was the part where I was just like, you know, I'm done with you. I'm just done with you. You know, this was all good. The apology, you know, I had respect for the apology and being sorry for what you did and, you know, admitting that you needed to get some attention, that sort of thing. But then to go on there and try to tell me with a straight face that you didn't think that people were going to assume this was a suicide note. I mean, that to me was just like, you know, I'm done with you. It just made me so mad. I mean, really. The video ended with 1974 to 2011. Really, were you?
Goodbye to all those who loved me.
Were you grappling in the womb? Really, did your career start the day you were born? Because you know what? It didn't. You know, if this video was supposed to be about your wrestling career, then the beginning date would have been the date that you debuted. You did not debut on the day you were born. You debuted the day that you debuted. And so to use the day that you were born, that is, I mean, that made me so mad. You know, I was really mad the night that video went up on YouTube, especially when I started getting, you know, I was gravely concerned for a while. I'm not going to lie. I was really concerned that he actually was going to kill himself because, you know, we hear things here and there, and I'll just say that I did not think it was out of the realm of possibility. And, you know, then, you know, I mean, I was sitting here, I had things to do that night, but I was sitting in front of the computer and I did not move, you know, because I was trying to get information from a lot of different people. I was sending out a lot of emails. I was sending out a lot of texts, trying to get information. And it's probably about 45 minutes, an hour, before I started getting some texts back that were like, okay, you know, he's all right. This is this is just a goofy publicity stunt. And that's when I really started getting mad. I was just like, you know, you put up your stupid videos, you put up your goofy stuff here and there, and you know, it's annoying, that sort of thing. But I mean, this is just like, this is just too much. You know, this is, if I were a booker, I mean, you're done in this business. You're never working again. You know, if I were Vince McMahon, you're just finished. If I were Dixie Carter, you're done. Just, this guy's done. You know, and I talked to other promoters that had used Matt before, and they're like, he's done. You know, and you know, thing, this is wrestling, so who knows? You know, he's probably going to be back somewhere at this point. But I mean, just to me, you're done. But you know, then to come on there afterwards and do your apology and that sort of thing, and then just with a straight face try to tell me that you didn't intend for people to think that that was a suicide note. I mean, that to me is just, that really was, that was the end for me. I'm done. I mean, I realize I'm talking about him right now, but I'm pretty much done covering Matt Hardy for any time in the foreseeable future.
And as well it should be, too. I mean, you know, I don't know.
Don't mess around with suicide. That's what made me, I'm sorry to interrupt again, but I mean, this is what made me the most upset. You know, I've got a book right here on my floor about the life of Chris Kanyon. You know, he was a friend of mine. You know, Chris Kanyon was a friend of mine back in WCW. He was one of the first people that I talked to in wrestling after I started the newsletter. You know, he read the newsletter, and he liked it, and he was a real friendly, nice guy, and I knew him for years, and, you know, suicide. And another friend, Adam Firestorm, suicide. You know, I knew Adam Firestorm from when I was, you know, when I was a kid doing wrestling. You know, back when I was doing wrestling at the very, very beginning, when we were running shows out of a gymnasium, you know, out of a gymnastics facility, I knew Adam Firestorm. You know, good friend of mine, suicide. You know, I knew a lot of friends. I have a lot of friends in this business that ended up committing suicide. And here's this goofball going online with a fake suicide note. That just really, I mean, that was it for me.
Well, and, you know, that's the whole thing. You don't joke about that because everyone has been affected by it, especially in the wrestling business. And then, I mean, I don't know who watches all of those Hardy Show things that they've put up and all of this stuff over time. I mean, I don't watch them. They did just that type of thing doesn't interest me. I mean, they've always come across in a lot of these things, and especially recently as, you know, poor man's jackass, white trash, junkie. I mean, that's the perception of these guys. And you look at the charges against Jeff Hardy, and yeah, somebody in wrestling could probably try to explain that away of the amount of stuff over time and steroids and stocking, all of that. You can try to make excuses for it all you want. But the fact is, he's facing charges of that and probably should be facing jail time coming out of it. We'll find out, I guess, next Tuesday or Thursday, whenever it is. And the situation with Matt, which obviously Reavy Sky has talked about, was far worse than just the accident he just had and all this stuff about falling down the steps and multiple car wrecks and all this other stuff. And the fact that even, you know, Jeff's wife and Shane Helms distanced themselves from this immediately right off the bat. It's just, it's pathetic. And, yeah, I mean, I think after this, he's pretty much dug his own grave as far as people ever buying him again. I mean, you talk about crying wolf. You know, people were legitimately concerned because of how he's been. Now they're not going to care when he passes. They're just going to go, okay, I guess it was time. And that's really, really sad.
Thing with Jeff is that Thursday that he returns on television, which is this coming Thursday, that's the day he goes to court.
I'll say this. I don't know what that promo is. But if they, because I've heard criticism of it, if he just actually thanks the fans and wants them back and admits to his mistakes and they didn't do anything else with him on that show, that actually I'm fine with, because then you have the next week to try to come out of it with something. I don't think it's
that
bad.
That's what they did. And in fact, from what I've heard, he had a much better apology than his brother.
Well, that doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, this one he's getting paid for. Although I hope, you know what, I shouldn't be that cynical. I hope for his sake. Because seeing him this year in that Sting match and seeing him against Naito, I mean, I hope for his sake this is it. And I hope he does have something mandated as far as rehab goes, because obviously TNA is not going to send him. But, I mean, just, again, obviously for humanity's sake, both of those guys, I hope, come out of all of this okay and turn things around, because their touch with reality is, it's very scary. And in a lot of ways still, you know, shame on TNA for keeping Jeff Hardy around this whole time anyway.
Running low on time, but I wanted to mention this since we talked about Jeff Hardy returning. He came back at the Huntsville show. They wanted to make a big deal out of going on the road. Spike TV has helped foot some of the costs of getting out of the Impact Zone for some of the tapings. They're going to be doing tapings, I think, about once a month on the road. But anyway, the point was, you know, new atmosphere, bunch of new fans going nuts. You know, they were hoping that this would do a great number. It actually didn't. I think it did like a 1 or a 1.1. And a very disappointing number for TNA. And I've made this analogy many times. I saw this in WCW. I see it in TNA all the time. Show's got big problems. It's like a car. You've got 500,000 miles on your car. It's completely broke down. It's not doing nothing. So what do? You give it a new coat of paint. It's exactly what TNA is doing right here. You can move this show into a new building. You can move this show and have a bunch of fans going nuts. It's still Impact, and it's still a horribly written television show. That's your problem. Back in just a moment, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment on the show. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're talking TNA on the road. The fact that they went on the road, made a big deal out of it, had a great crowd. I actually thought the last half hour of Impact this week was awesome, just because you had two great wrestling matches. The rest of the show sucked, but not a good rating. Not a good rating, and we'll see. It's the first show. You know, we shouldn't play too much into the first show. You know, maybe these on-the-road tapings will really boost numbers down the road. My guess is they won't. It'll do the same numbers they always do, and I don't know. There need to be some changes because, you know, Spike taking this risk on him, Spike putting this money into going on the road and it not having any sort of change. You know, you don't want Spike, you don't want your network not happy with how things are going, because the fate of TNA lies in the hands of this network, and that's no storyline.
No, it's absolutely true. And again, Bellator breathing down their neck. Now, there's room for both. I don't think they get rid of TNA right away, because at least it's a guaranteed one that they get, but they're rebranding and lots of other things. So I like them going on the road. It gives a different look and everything. But if what you have is garbage, it doesn't matter where you actually shoot the show. People aren't going to tune in to watch.
We're out of time, everybody. It's been a great show today. We tried to get in everything. Obviously, last week we weren't on the air, but we tried to hit everything. A lot of stuff that we didn't hit is up available on the website right now. Again, you know, we do the hard plug to sign up, but there's a lot of free stuff up there as well every week. If you enjoy this show, we do a free show every Monday or Tuesday. This week, I think it's going to be a free edition of Wrestling Observer Radio on Monday night. Next week, it'll be a free Brian and Vinny show. Those shows are always available by scrolling down the right-hand side of the page. So if you can't sign up at this time, that's cool. There's free stuff available for you, so go up there and check it out. And again, down the road, when you get that high-paying job, or as my granny would attempt to do, win the lottery, WrestlingObserver.com is the place to go to get more of this. We're going to be back next week with a brand new show. The summer is almost over, and we've got a lot of stuff coming up here in the fall. We've got a lot of mixed martial arts coming up. 2012, there's going to be an MMA show on nearly every single weekend, plus pro wrestling as well. So a lot of stuff coming up. Check out this show every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sirius Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, Sports Byline USA, WrestlingObserver.com. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks again. It's been a good time.